Hi, Brian Kilmeade here. If you're a small business owner, then you know firsthand it can be a real challenge to get access to funding. It's time for funding to catch up to the 21st century. It's time for Cabbage. Fill out the application online and you'll get a decision in minutes with on-the-spot access to a line of credit of up to $150,000. No waiting, no hassle. Cabbage is rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. So go to Cabbage.com or call 855-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, K-A-B-B-A-G-E, the number one online provider of small business loans.
Coming to you direct from the heart of New York City all the way to wherever you are, you're listening to The VIP, Jazz War Report. Ladies and gentlemen, this show is not just about losing weight. It's really about slimming down in a way that works. You know, we live in a world where health gurus give us all the advice about what we really already know. I mean, they say we should eat healthier, exercise more. There are more diet plans out there than there are pages in an encyclopedia. I get the advice, but it's not that easy to do. And quite frankly, it can be a very punishing way of living. And sometimes we just want to slim down fast with the least amount of effort. In fact, my way of losing weight is really quite simple. I avoid things that make me fat because I've removed two things from my diet. I've thrown out the weighing scales and I've destroyed all the mirrors. My way does work, but my guest today is a touch more qualified to give advice. He's Dr. Bruce Roseman, author of The Addictocarb Diet. He's a family doctor with over 30 years' experience, and his book is a quick method in not just losing weight, but in also slimming down. So welcome to the show, Dr. Bruce Roseman.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, so, you know, when I was reading your book, you've lost 70 pounds.
Right.
Not once.
Three times. Yes.
How did you lose it? What made you fail? And what did you learn from it?
It's very simple, and it's what the book is about. My book, The Addictocarb Diet, is about addiction. Addiction is the reason that people gain weight. Mm-hmm. Addiction is the reason that they have trouble losing weight. Addiction is the reason they have trouble keeping the weight off after they lose it. And addiction is the reason they gain it back. And that's the reason that I had to lose 70 pounds three times. I refused to accept the reality that I was an addict, and it was addiction that was holding me back.
So what you've really done is you've actually turned the problem around and classified it as something else, and that is addiction.
Yes, absolutely. Look, it's not just, I mean, I didn't do this. I mean, I'm not inventing the wheel here. There are new brain imaging techniques in the field of addiction neuroscience that clearly show that weight gain stems from our addiction to certain foods. I have a picture in my office on the wall of two brain MRIs, one of a heroin addict and one of a person who has just eaten what I refer to as addictocarbs. And they look exactly the same. It's the same area. It's the same colors. It's the same outline. It's exactly the same. So we know that eating certain foods is exactly like taking heroin or drinking alcohol.
And what are those certain foods?
Well, that's really the issue. That was the challenge when I first wrote the book. And that is to come up with the particular foods that stimulate the addiction center of the brain. You know, number one and number two, right off the bat, and there is a chapter in the addictocarb diet on these rules. Number one and number two, bread and potatoes. Okay? Mm. Bread and potatoes probably account for the greatest amount of weight gain and difficulty losing weight in the United States than any other food. And I don't have to tell you how addictive they are. I mean, they're ubiquitous. You sit down at a table, there's a bread basket. Everything we eat, sandwiches, it's got bread on it, okay? Mm-hmm. Potatoes, there are French fries everywhere. There are potatoes for breakfast. Those are one and two. Now, I have nine addictocarbs. And what I found those to be was through my work with my patients, okay? It took years for me to come up with this list, okay? Mm-hmm. And you do not need to give up every single addictocarb. Yes, if you want to lose 70 pounds, you have to give up all the addictocarbs. But suppose you only need to lose 10 pounds or 15 pounds, okay? No, you can give up fewer addictocarbs. In fact, what I have done is, because I lost so much weight and I got to be so thin, what I began to do was add Addicto carbs back into my diet. Now, the Addicto carbs are bread and potatoes, number one. Okay.
Can I just ask you about the potato? Does it? I mean, you're talking about French fries. What if I had like a boiled potato?
No. Let me just tell you.
So it's not the method of cooking. It's that it causes the addiction.
Absolutely. It's purely the addiction. It's not the method of cooking. You can't have sweet potato fries. Sweet potato fries are fine. They don't stimulate the addiction center. They're not bad for diabetes. And we know which foods are bad for us because when we're talking about glycemic index is something that is used to determine how diabetogenic or how much it's likely to cause diabetes a certain food is. We know bread and potatoes are right up there at the top of the glycemic index. Now, there are other things that are close to the top. I mean, fruit juices and sodas, high fructose corn syrup. Mm-hmm. But there are things that you can swap out for all of these various different foods and still make the diet work. And that's what the diet is about. You know,
You said there are nine
yes,
foods.
Bread, potatoes, pasta, flour, rice, obviously sugar, high fructose corn syrup, fruit juice and soda. Those are the nine.
What about diet soda?
Nope. Soda. That's why I was very, very careful to say soda. It doesn't matter whether it's diet soda or it's not diet soda.
So you're really saying that, again, it's not because it has zero calories, but it can cause the addiction to surface.
Right. It's the particular food substance that causes the addiction. Absolutely true. And diet soda is the same thing as regular soda. On my Facebook page, I talk about all sorts of foods that you can swap out and recipes and whatever, but I also have, and they're very popular, lots of articles about how diet sodas are just as bad as drinking regular sodas. So no, you cannot have diet soda, unfortunately. I'm sorry. I wish you could.
And that's because of, again, it causes the addiction.
Right. Because it stimulates the brain in the same way as the regular sodas. You fool the brain. Yes, you can fool the brain. The brain is fooled into thinking that this is sugar. Well, it's not. But on the other hand, what you cannot fool the brain into thinking, you cannot fool the brain into thinking that this is a non-addictive substance. It is an addictive substance. There's no question about it. And, you know, I didn't figure all this out. The data is out there. It's clear. It's in the medical literature. Everybody knows about this. You know, I think that my perspective is a little bit different in terms of how I approached it because I'm just a simple family doctor and I say now a former extremely fat person. I spent my entire life extremely fat. And until I figured this out, until I accepted my addiction, I was never able to deal with it. And I had been to Overeaters Anonymous, and I'd been to all the various things. You know, I had been on every diet known to mankind. And I always lost weight, but then I always gained it back. And when I finally accepted the reality, and that is that I needed to look at my weight problem through the lens of addiction, I was finally able to get control of it.
Now, you mentioned as one of the addicto carbs or the juices.
Yes.
Freshly squeezed orange juice at home.
Yes. I love that one. It's a great question. When my children were growing up, I got up and squeezed them fresh orange juice almost every morning because they loved it. Okay. And why shouldn't they love it? Basically, what you do to make one glass of juice, I would have to squeeze about five or six oranges. You squeeze all the sugar out of the orange into a cup, and then the kids drink the sugar, okay? But or anybody drinks the sugar. That's what fruit juice is. Imagine sitting down and eating six oranges. I don't think anybody's going to do it. Oranges, fruits and vegetables are not addictive carbs. In fact, my diet in general is very, very fruit heavy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's sugar in them, but you can eat the sugar as part of a fruit. What you cannot do is squeeze the sugar out of them.
And there's no fiber, right? Because you normally, when you're having an orange on its own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's absolutely true. Right. There's no fiber. You get rid of the fiber and you're just left with the sugar. No, fruit juice. I mean, they make you think that fruit juice is good for you. You go to the store, you see all this has got so-and-so amount
that's
of
right.
fruit juice. It's just, well, yes, it does, but that's bad for you. And I feel guilty about having given my children fresh squeezed orange juice in the morning.
So in place of that, you didn't for parents listening, you'd probably just give one whole orange.
Well, right. One whole orange, two oranges, three. They can eat all the oranges they want. Absolutely. Grapefruits, you cannot have the grapefruit juice. But if you want to eat grapefruits, that's fine. And that is, what, in fact, what I do personally in order to maintain my diet. I eat grapefruits. I eat oranges. I eat all sorts of fruit. No problem. Look, the bottom line is there is sugar in fruit. Everybody knows that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that you can eat a bucket of strawberries, which has plenty of carbs and plenty of sugar. That's not the same as eating one half of one quarter of one tenth of a piece of toast. And the reason is that if you eat a piece of bread, it's going to stimulate the addiction center. But if you eat all those strawberries, it's not going to stimulate the addiction center. And that's how you lose weight. It's how you keep the weight off, pure and simple.
So it's not what you eat that's the problem. It's the addiction-causing syndrome that you have to worry about.
Absolutely, positively true. That's exactly what it is, exactly.
Now, in your experience, I mean, you said that you've been on many diets. And, you know, you have the Atkins, the Weight Watchers, the Jenny Craig.
All of them, yes.
What have you found that's been a challenge, apart from that they taste horrible?
Well, I mean, every diet works. I mean, they've done studies that show clearly, you want to lose a lot of weight fast, go on Atkins. I'm not going to knock Atkins. You want to lose weight fast. You got a wedding coming up. You got to lose weight. You want to look good. Fine, go on Atkins. But if you think you're going to keep the weight off by going on Atkins, it's not going to happen. Look, I've been a doctor for 40 years. I mean, I treat patients every. I see people go on these diets all the time, and they lose the weight, and then they gain the weight right back.
Well, that's what I do. I lose weight so that I can eat again.
Right. No, I understand that. And if people want to do that, that's fine. That's not what my diet is about. My diet is more about a lifestyle than it is about a diet. Yes, will you lose weight on it quickly? Yes, you go on it, you will lose weight quickly, okay? But it's more about a lifestyle. And I have patients, and I have, at this point, we're talking about, you know, in the thousands, I have patients that have gone on the diet and have been able to keep the weight off. Pure and simple, they keep it off. It's been, now, I can't tell you it's been for 25 years, but I have patients that have kept the weight off for 5, 6, 7 years on the diet. And the basic premise is that they stay away from the addictive foods that, like bread and potatoes and juice, fruit juices and soda, they stay away from those things. My son said to me the other day, my son has a proclivity to gain weight also, okay? My son said to me the other day, is there anything that you regret about all the food that you ate when you were younger? And my answer to him was very simple, and I hope that he takes it, as my grandmother used to say, I hope he takes it in his head and smokes it. My answer to him was, I don't regret all the food that I ate when I was younger. What I do regret is that I didn't realize that if I just cut out a couple of simple things, like, for instance, bread and potatoes, then I could have eaten pretty much everything, and I wouldn't have gotten so fat. Now, in my case, it led to heart disease and diabetes and prostate disease, and that's what it does to the rest of America.
You see, on the top of your list, I notice you keep saying bread and potatoes.
Yes.
Are those the ones that have the maximum impact compared to, say, pasta?
Yes, absolutely. You know, that's absolutely true. They are the ones that have the maximum impact. And how do we know that? Well, if you just want to look at diabetes, okay, the glycemic index of bread and potatoes is above 90,
right,
which is extremely bad. That's extremely bad, okay?
But for those of us who don't have diabetes, who just want to lose weight,
it's an interesting point. I love that.
Mm.
I love that you said that. Let me tell you why. You said for those of us that don't have diabetes. Okay, in the United States right now, there are 100 million people that are either diabetic or pre-diabetic.
That's 33% of the population.
Yes. By the year 2050, 50% of the United States population will be diabetic. Okay? So when you say, what about for those of us that are not diabetic, my answer to you is, you're going to be diabetic. When I went into practice years ago, I virtually never saw a young person with diabetes. Either you're born with diabetes, which was type 1 diabetes, or you got type 2 diabetes when you were older, when you were 60 or 70. Now I have, you cannot imagine how many kids I have been coming in, 16, 17, 18, 20, 25, 30, 35, that have diabetes.
So you better start adopting precautionary measures right now.
Yes, absolutely true. And I'm a family doctor. I take care of newborns as all the way up to my highest is 106. Okay, I take care of people all along. And I can just tell you over the years that gaining, even if it's just, you think, well, I'm only 15 pounds overweight, nobody ever says anything. You think you're getting away with something. Let me tell you something. You're not getting away with anything. If you're 15 pounds overweight, that's going to raise your blood pressure. It's going to cause heart disease. It's going to cause diabetes. It's going to cause prostate disease. It's going to cause all sorts of things that are just as lethal as heroin and alcohol addiction. Just as lethal. You know, nobody ever said anything to me. I thought I was in pretty good health when I was 52.
But the average American, does find it a challenge to do two things. Eating moderately, because we're so used to binging.
You can't eat it moderately.
Yeah, we can't, because we're surrounded by food all the time.
You can't do it.
And same with exercise. It's not the most intellectually rewarding or leisurely rewarding of exercise. I mean, it's highly boring to me. So I'm just saying, you know what, if I needed to do
something else. Forget about the exercise. Listen, I exercise a lot. I love exercise. I mean, I live by what I say. Exercise is great. It helps to prevent diabetes. It's good for this. It's good for exercise is great for everything, for your bones, for your psyche, for everything. Okay. But if you think that you're going to lose weight from exercising, you're kidding yourself. You ask any doctor who's been taking care of patients for a long period of time, and they will tell you exercise just doesn't work. Didn't work for me. The whole entire time I was fat, I always exercised. I swim 7 days a week. I walk miles every single day. I used to run. I was fat. Didn't work for me. I got heart disease. Now, the sad truth is that my father was 52 when he died, so obviously it runs in my family. But on the other hand, if I had been watching my diet, then I wouldn't have had to worry about it.
Now, you're quite radical in your own way, because I've seen some of the media appearances that you've given. I've watched some of your interviews. You don't necessarily have great faith in the value of having a breakfast.
No, absolutely not. You don't need to eat breakfast. This whole myth about breakfast is predicated that when you get up in the morning, you're going to be hungry. Well, yes, most people are hungry when they get up in the morning. The reason they're hungry? The reason they are hungry is because they had Addicto carbs the night before. If they don't have Addicto carbs the night before, they're not hungry in the morning. You should never eat when you are not hungry. I skip breakfast all the time. It doesn't bother me one bit. Absolutely not. If you want to eat breakfast, that's fine. Don't eat Addicto carbs. If you eat Addicto carbs for breakfast, you're going to be hungry all day. And by that I mean if you just eat a quarter of a bagel, you're going to be hungry all day. On the other hand, I get up in the morning. I eat a totally non-Addicto carb breakfast. For instance, I have oatmeal. Now, I like to have the oatmeal sweetened a little because plain oatmeal is pretty tasteless. So what I use is applesauce, which I make myself. I just take an apple, I throw it in the food processor, boom, I got a sauce, I put it on, and it's sweet. And then
Can you buy that in place of that applesauce? Can you buy like that baby puree apple?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Is that because that's got a lot of sugar in it?
They make them. They're all over the place. They make them without sugar. Mott's and all the big companies make them without. Look, you have to become careful about looking for things that have addictive carbs. For instance, the high fructose corn syrup, which I state clearly you cannot have. Okay, I was shocked. You go in and buy ketchup, plain old regular Heinz ketchup that everybody eats.
Yep.
They put high fructose corn syrup in it. On the other hand, they also make a thing called Simply Heinz, which is the exact same thing, which does not have high fructose corn syrup. Okay? Now, I can just tell you that I'm a very, very critical person. I have more than my share of OCD. I taste tested side by side the two ketchups. Okay? Is the one with the high fructose corn syrup maybe slightly better? Yes. But the other one does not cause the addiction problem. Heinz sells them. I'm sure that they don't care which one you buy. Okay. Yes, you have to look to see what's it. So yes, if you're buying fruit sauces, yes, you have to be careful to look for the ones that don't have sugar. But they have them everywhere. They're all over the place in all the big supermarkets now, and especially to children. I mean, you certainly shouldn't serve the ones with sugar to children.
You're talking about breakfast. I just want to let you know that instant oatmeal has been brought to my attention that it's highly glycemic.
Yes. There is an entire section in my book, The Addicto Carb Diet, about oatmeal, okay? let me tell you, oatmeal is no different from any other substance, and that is the more and the finer that you break it into pieces, the worse it is for you. No, you cannot have instant oatmeal. You have to have Scottish, you know, regular cut oatmeal, steel cut oatmeal.
So when I'm buying stuff, like the food products in boxes, what should I be looking at in the label?
Okay, well, you want as least processed as possible, okay? When you're buying oatmeal, you need to buy steel cut oatmeal, pure and simple. You cannot buy instant oatmeal. You just can't do it, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not good for you. You should be looking for high fructose corn syrup, for instance, in pancake syrup. I have a wonderful recipe on my website, which, by the way, is addictocarb.com, a wonderful recipe for pancakes, and a beautiful picture of the pancakes, which I took myself. And the pancakes are terrific. They do not have any addictocarbs in them, but the syrup that I use on it is the plain old regular syrup that is high fructose corn syrup free. That's pure and simple. You can get all these foods. I mean,
so I should be looking for something that is fructose free.
You want to stay away from the high fructose corn syrup. That's what you should be looking for. You know, when you go to buy Log Cabin syrup, they have them right there on the shelf. There's the regular one, and then there's the one that says specifically no high fructose corn syrup. They have it in the supermarket that I go to. I'm sure they have it in the supermarket that they have everywhere, because the supermarkets outside of New York are 1,000 times better than the supermarkets here in New York. Okay, and I see that it's very easy to do. When you buy salad dressing, that's another killer. They have a lot of high fructose corn syrup, but if you look at the salad dressings, they have some that say clearly does not contain high fructose corn syrup, pure and simple. Yes, that's what you should be looking for.
And that's also what causes the addiction.
Yes, it causes the addiction.
Almost like if we cure the addiction, we find a cure for weight loss.
We find a cure for weight loss. We find a cure for cancer. We find a cure for heart disease. We find a cure for prostate disease. We find a cure for high blood pressure. The list goes on and on and on. And by the way, I had all of those things. I had diabetes. I was taking insulin. I do not take insulin anymore. I was taking other injectables. I do not take them anymore. I was taking medication for 15 years for my prostate. I do not take it anymore.
So let's talk about, like, snacks, yeah?
Snacks.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, we're a nation that likes to eat all the time. If I'm watching popcorn, can I have popcorn?
Yes, you can.
No nachos, obviously, right?
No, you can have you can have all the popcorn you want. It's not an addictocarb.
No, but I can't have nachos and things like that.
No, you cannot have nachos. No. Nachos are made out of flour.
So what snacks can I buy from a shop rather than having to make myself? So if I like to eat a lot, I don't want to exercise, and I don't want to cook, what are the snacks that are available?
Okay. There are plenty of snacks available. And on my Facebook page, which is the Addictocarb Diet on Facebook, I have all sorts of snacks. You know, like when it came time for Super Bowl, I had a bunch of recipes for different snacks. There are plenty of snacks you can have. And the great thing about eating Addictocarb-free snacks is you can eat as much of them as you want. Okay? For instance, no, you can't have French fries for a snack, but you can have sweet potato fries for a snack. I mean,
no, but what snacks can I buy, like, from a store that comes in a pack?
In a pack.
Well, like, popcorn. You know, instead of chips. I obviously can't have chips, so now what else could I buy?
Well, yes, you can have popcorn.
I can have popcorn.
Yes, you can. You can have I eat popcorn all the time. All the time. Can you have chocolate? Yes, you can have chocolate. You can have dark chocolate. There's a section in the Addictocarb Diet which talks about chocolate. And you have to understand how chocolate is put together. No, you cannot have 40% or 50% chocolate. You can have 70% chocolate. You can eat. I eat chocolate every single day. Chocolate lowers your blood pressure. It's good for diabetes. It makes you feel happier. You can have chocolate. You want to go buy something in the store? You can buy.
But this chocolate. Is dark chocolate, right?
Dark chocolate
with sugar.
Yes.
It's sweet.
Well, I mean, the darker the chocolate, the less sugar it has in it.
Okay.
Yes, you would try it. You know, I have to tell you, you walk into the supermarket now, and this is every supermarket, and believe it or not, I do go. I love supermarkets. I go to them all over the place. You know, you go into the supermarkets now, they all have these displays that have the chocolate, 40%, 50%, 60%, 70%, 80%, 90%, all of the big chocolate manufacturers, Godiva and all these other places, they all have it. It's very easy to buy dark chocolate.
Okay.
Extremely easy.
Now, you have lost 70 pounds
three times. Yes.
And that's, you know, that's great to know, because you will be an ideal candidate. Tell me, how does one deal with temptation?
Well, you won't have any temptation. If you stay away from addicted cars, you won't have any temptation. Temptation, think about the word. The word temptation refers to addiction.
Hmm.
Temptation is something that's had by heroin addicts. Temptation is something that's had by alcoholics. Temptation is something that is had by people who are addicted. If you stay away from the addictive substance, then that's the only way you can beat the addiction. Now, are people going to fall off the wagon? Of course they're going to fall off the wagon. I mean, I'm not kidding myself. I know that that's going to happen to people, and it's going to happen to me. But the important thing to understand when you fall off the wagon is to look at it through the lens of addiction. And that is, all right, you fell off the wagon, you ate something you shouldn't have eaten. Okay, you wake up the next morning, you know, fine. I have ways of dealing with it. Number one way, I drink a shake. In the book, in the Addictive Carb Diet book, I mean, I talk about these shakes that I make, but let me just tell you, I'm not inventing the wheel here either. Basically, you throw as much fruit as you can into a food processor with some milk. You know, you can use, you know, regular milk or, you know, fat-free milk. Personally, I use almond milk. But, you know, and with some flavoring powder. And these flavoring powders, they're low glycemic. They're not fattening. You know, you just have to be careful to choose one that's like that. Personally, I use SlimFast. I like the taste. My wife uses something from General Nutrition Center. My nurse uses something that's some generic thing that she gets on Amazon. They sell these chocolate flavoring powders in Whole Foods. They sell these things over. So you have a shake.
Well,
what that does is it breaks the addiction process.
What are the top three fruits to avoid, though?
The top three fruits?
Like you're making a fruit shake. So what are the top three fruits?
You can have any fruit you want.
Oh, you don't have an issue with that?
No. You can have all the fruit you want. Any fruit you want is fine.
Okay, because in one of your books, in the book I was reading, there was something about I think it was in your Q&A section, where a lady was having a shake, but she didn't put a banana there.
Right. That woman, I remember her very well. That woman, she wanted to lose weight really quickly.
Right.
You know, people come to me for all sorts of reasons. My job as a doctor is to work within the constraints that patients place on me. I can't just say, go do this, because they're not going to go do this. They're going to do what they want to do. That woman wanted, she had a wedding to go to. She wanted to lose weight, and she wanted to lose it as fast as possible. So, yes, it's true. I put bananas in my shakes, okay? I said to her, well, on the other hand, if you don't put the banana in, you will lose weight faster. She said, okay, I'm going to do that. She also said to me, what about if I don't use milk? I said, well, yeah, if you don't use milk, you lose weight even faster. So she decided to use water. Now, that's fine and good for that person, and she lost a lot of weight, as it turned out, okay? But for me, to make a shake that doesn't have, you know, if you're going to go on a diet, you have to go on something you can stick to. If you're going to make a shake and it's not going to have a banana and it's not going to have milk and it's just going to be water and some fruits, that's not very appetizing to me. That's not a shake that I can go on, personally, and I don't think it's a shake that most people can go on. And the point is that the thing about my diet, which I think, well, I know works, is that it's easy and you can stick to it. So, yes, when I make a shake, yes, I put milk and fruit and a flavoring powder and a banana in it. Yes, and I think it's fine. Yes, it is certainly true. The less you eat, the better it is. But, you know, the whole point of my diet is you can eat as much as you want as long as you don't eat addicto carbs.
Well, that's why I liked your diet a lot because, you know, I know in my mindset I have to compromise something, but
right.
I didn't want to stop my binge consumption.
Right.
So, you know, like I'm going to go to a steak restaurant tonight, and I'm not going to order the potatoes or the fries, but I'm going to order the biggest steak there. I might have some broccoli with it.
Fine.
And
if you have to have the 8-layer chocolate cake, fine, have it, but don't have bread and potatoes.
Right. And I think one of the biggest sins we have is we go to the restaurant, then they serve bread first thing.
Absolutely. That's absolutely what they do. Look, I have a thing that I have handouts for everything in my office for the patients.
Hmm.
And patients come in and they lose weight and they come in. It's always the same story. My brother-in-law is coming into town. We're going out to a nice restaurant. I'm going to have to eat. What do I do? So I have a handout. That's the going out to eat handout. Okay. And the handout says very specifically, what do you do? Well, before you go out to eat, you have a shake or a bowl of fruit. The shakes are convenient. They're easy. You know, you just make one, you drink it. Yeah, so you have that, okay? That's number one. So that works to intercede in the addiction potential of what you're going to eat. Then you go out to eat. Look, are you going to have the chocolate cake? I guess so. Are they going to make something with one of your dishes that's going to have some rice in it or so? Sure. But don't make the mistake. Do not have bread and potatoes because they are the most addictive. Okay, you finish the meal, you come home, first thing you do, have a shake. First thing you do, have a shake. Now, in my particular case, generally what I do is eat a bowl of strawberries. But a shake and strawberries.
Why are you doing that?
Because you need to break the addiction process. You need to break the cycle of addiction. And the way you do that is with fruit.
So you're telling me that the addiction arises from the last thing you consumed, which could be an addictocarb.
Yes.
And then you're actually drowning it with what you're consuming after.
Yes, I hadn't thought of putting it that way, but that's extremely well put.
Okay.
That's exactly it. You hit the nail right on the head.
Can we? So that means I can have as much cheese as I want, as much steak, bacon, fried, whatever.
Yes.
Okay.
But let's be clear about something.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is weight loss and keeping weight off and all that. Yes. But on the other hand, as a physician, am I telling you that I think bacon is good for you? No.
No. I was very clear even in my introduction. It's all about slimming down fast.
Right.
Because I got to get into my Speedos. I'm going to go to the beach soon.
Right.
So I'm very clear about, where we're going. Obviously, you got to use some sort of level of common sense.
Right.
Another thing also that sort of when people want to slim down, what are the foods to avoid that actually cause bloating?
Well, it's an that's a really interesting point. I can't remember if I talk about it in my book, but I have spoken about this. The South Beach diet is a good diet.
The which diet? It. Sorry.
The South Beach.
South Beach. Okay.
It's a good diet. It's famous. A lot of people are on it. Mm. 20 million people, I believe it or not, have bought the book. And it's based on the glycemic index. Okay. If you go on that, you will lose weight, but eventually you gain the weight back. Now, Arthur Agastin is a very famous cardiologist, figured this out because people were coming back to him and saying, we went on South Beach and, we're gaining the weight back. And what he figured out in his mind was that the reason they were gaining the weight back is because they were eating gluten. So after writing the first book and selling 20 million copies and really educating the public about the glycemic index, he went, oh, that's right, sorry, it's not the glycemic index, it's gluten. So gluten causes a lot of problems. Now, obviously, if you're not eating bread, you're basically not eating gluten. So it's going to get rid of a lot of those people that have bloating. There are a lot of people that have bloating. Not everybody has celiac sprue. There are people that don't have celiac disease but are just gluten sensitive. The first thing that I tell somebody who comes in that tells me that they have bloating, the absolute first thing that I tell people is to give up gluten and give up milk products. And I would say that it works probably 50% of the time, which, by the way, is quite a lot. From a medical standpoint, if you have people that come in with a particular problem and you make a relatively simple statement to them about giving up something small, and it works. 50% is really terrific. So, yes, for people that are bloated, yes, absolutely.
But bloating can be caused by gluten, but can it also be caused by foods that release a lot of gas?
Milk. Yes, it can be caused by milk. It can be caused by that.
Is there a particular quantity of milk, or like milk for coffee is fine or something like that?
Well, obviously, first of all, you have to see what I tell people to do is to go off milk for a week and go off gluten for a week. And then see if they feel better. If they feel better, well, what have you lost? So you've taken a week of your time to go off gluten. You have to see how it affects you.
Right.
And then how does it affect you? Well, for some people, they can't have a glass of milk, but they can have some milk in their coffee.
Now, the other thing also is we've talked about the foods. And for those who are too lazy to make a shake, and bear with me on this one, obviously they can't have diet sodas, but can they have diet iced tea?
Iced tea you can have if you are you talking, but not with sugar.
So the diet iced tea, right?
No, because the diet iced tea, if they're putting in those sugar replacements,
it's that like, fructose thing again.
Yeah, you know, you can't know. But can they have plain tea? Yeah, I drink tea all the time. Absolutely.
You no, because like tea, you have, remember, like you know, like, Snapple. They have
no,
their.
No, you can't have Snapple. Snapple's all sugar.
No, the diet one.
No, yeah, but it's not all sugar. So then it's all stevia, or it's all Splenda, or it's all one of these, or NutraSweet. That's all. No, you can't. You can't have Snapple.
So that'll again create the addiction.
Yes, it's going to create the addiction.
Something that's close to my heart: alcohol.
You can have alcohol.
Any kind.
Yeah.
So you can have beer. It doesn't cause the addiction.
Well, I mean, it depends on you know. I deal with I spoke about this in the book. I mean, as a physician, you know, I'm not going to tell people to give up a lot of addictions at one time. People are addicted to coffee, people are addicted to alcohol, people are addicted to a variety of things, okay? To lose weight, you do not have to give up alcohol. But for instance, there are things that you can do with alcohol. I have a patient who came in and said to me, and he's lost a lot of weight on the diet. Mm-hmm. And said to me, you know, I drink vodka, and I didn't even know this. Vodka is made out of potatoes, but he found some kind of raspberry-made vodka, and he finds that that does not stimulate the addiction process as much. So there are things that you can do. But alcohol, yes. Alcohol, you can have alcohol. Obviously, I would try and stay away from the really sweet ones mm-hmm. that are really sweetened with sugar. Beer, obviously, you know, you can't. Yes, you can have it and go on this diet if you stay away from the addicto carbs because beer is not an addicto carb. You will lose weight, but I think the thing in look, I'm a teetotaler. I don't drink, so I'm not a good one to ask about that. You know, but yes, you can drink. You can drink and you can have coffee on this diet, and you will still lose weight. And the important thing is that if you lose the weight, you will decrease your chances of getting heart disease and diabetes, which is the number one killer in America. I mean, diabetes is a devastating disease. It's the number one cause of amputations. It's the number one cause of blindness. It's the number one cause of kidney failure. It's the number one cause of heart disease. Diabetes is a devastating disease that is destroying our country. I mean, people talk about heroin addiction and they talk about alcohol. Well, if you're talking about heroin addiction, an alcohol addiction, you're talking about a couple of million people, 4, 5, 6 million people. When you're talking about being overweight, you're talking about 100 million or 150 million. I'm not sure exactly what the number is. You know, it's 66% of the population is overweight. Whatever, I don't know what the entire population of the country is, but when you figure that, it adds up to a lot of people that are overweight.
So what I'm getting from you is it's just not about the diet that you should be mindful of, that you should be aware of, that the fact that you that one has an addiction problem.
Yes, yes.
And that's where the real problem lies. And that's why, you know, you can't even have, like, I will refrain from eating meat, bread and potatoes for 6 days of the week and have a cheat day seventh day.
You cannot have a cheat day.
Even if I drown it with strawberries and a shake at the end?
No. I mean, if you occasionally fall off the wagon, then yes, you can drown it with all that other stuff. But one day a week, for instance, let me turn it around and let me ask you a question, okay? Suppose you know somebody who's an alcoholic, goes into rehab, okay, gives up the alcohol, comes out. When that person comes out, is that person allowed to have beer once a week? No.
No, because the temptation triggers
right.
That's a possible relapse.
It. I love that word, temptation. Yes, you're absolutely correct. No, they can't do that. And that's why you can't have these, you know, some of these diets I read where you can eat anything you want on one day a week. And no, it's not going to work. It's not dealing with the underlying issue. And that's why the basis of losing the weight in the addictocarb diet is, very simply, exactly the same as any addiction process that you would go through. If you're going to go to a fancy, addiction center, or if you're going to go to a doctor to try and deal with your addiction, essentially what you have to go through, you're going to have to go through withdrawal. In my particular diet, you go through withdrawal by going on the shakes. It's only for 3 days you go through withdrawal. Then you go into what I refer to as rehab. And that's the same as any rehab center in the country. And that is that you go into rehab. Essentially what you do is you learn to do other things instead of the things that you've already been doing. For instance, you start eating sweet potatoes instead of regular potatoes. You eat certain types of pasta, and there are kinds of pasta that you can eat. You can swap regular pasta for other kinds of pasta. I talk about it in the book, and that is you can have Jerusalem artichoke pasta. You can have Dreamfields pasta. There are types of pasta that you can have. Zoodles. I love zoodles. Zoodles are zucchini. You make it into pasta. It works out great. You know, I mean, so you learn how to deal with, you know, your addiction. Can you're addicted to pizza, which I was, mm-hmm. Okay? You learn how, I have one of the best recipes in the book, maybe the best, is the cauliflower pizza. Everybody loves the cauliflower pizza. You can make a flour.
Cauliflower pizza.
Yes, you can make a flour out of cauliflower. It tastes just like regular pizza. It's terrific.
Are you
Everybody
sure?
Loves. Positive. I've done it 1,000 times myself.
Do you deliver?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I do. To my children. To my children, I deliver. If they'll eat it, I will deliver it to them. Yes. You know. So there are things that you can. That's what you have to learn to deal with is the addiction process. Look, I mean, I'm really happy that you understand, because not everybody does that interviews me. I'm really happy that you understand that this is really about addiction. That's what it's about, you know, and people have to learn how to deal with addiction. It's a gigantic problem in America. It's not, I mean, you know, people are addicted to drugs. People are addicted to all sorts of things. And, you know, this whole thing now, the big thing with the, you know, with the political process is all this addiction to opiates, which, by the way, I understand is an absolutely terrible thing. It's terrible to be addicted to opiates, and I have plenty of patients that get addicted to opiates, and it's awful, but it pales in comparison to the addiction to foods because of the consequences. The consequences of being addicted to certain foods is being overweight, and that causes heart attacks and strokes and amputations and all of these terrible things.
Now, you know, when you go to a restaurant, I mean, okay, you don't have the bread, you don't have the
right.
fries, you have, I guess in the 9 foods, if you're not going to cut out all 9, then you can start with the top 2. So then you
right.
go to the pasta, you have the regular pasta.
You have whole wheat pasta is better than regular pasta.
It's so that's great, less of an addictive.
It's less of an addictive.
Yeah, it's less tasty as well. But like when it comes to dessert,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got almost every dessert's got 1 or 2 of the addictocarbs in there.
Yes, but, you know, as people, we have to do what we can do.
Mm.
Do I think you should eat desserts? No, I don't think you should eat desserts. But on the other hand, you go to a restaurant, you've already given up the bread and potatoes.
Right.
Can you have the dessert? Yeah, you can have the dessert. Okay? Try and choose a dessert that has fruit in it, if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There are certain things that you can eat, you know, and that, but yes.
But then make sure that you go and drown it when you get back home.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
When you get back home, you have to drown it. Absolutely. That's 100% true.
So, you know, for our listeners, I mean, what can they hope to achieve if they started on a Monday by cutting out the potatoes and bread?
Okay.
Where will they get to by Sunday?
Okay. Well, if they give up all the addictive carbs, they're going to lose 5, 6, 7 pounds.
In a week?
Yes. Week to 10 days, yes. And people do it. I mean,
at what point does it level off, though? Because you can't have lost 250 pounds in a year.
Well, you can. You know, I went to a
school. I'd be weightless by then.
I know. I went to a school function for my son's school, the school that he graduated from.
Mm.
And I was sat next to, it's coincidentally, a patient of mine sat next to me. And when I looked at her, I could not believe what she looked like. I was just staring at her. My mouth was wide open. And she said, you know, I'm just going to tell you, when I came in to see you 9 months ago for my physical, you told me to go on your diet. She said, I thought you were crazy. She said, but now, since I've lost 48 pounds, I feel very differently. And she said, I'm not done losing weight. Okay? So, yes, you can lose as much as you want. Now, I lost too much weight, admittedly, because the patients were beginning to say things to me like, you know, gee, doc, you know, are you sure you're okay? So what I began to do is I began to add back Addictocards into my diet. And what I added back was I added rice and I added back some pasta. Now, the pasta.
Where does rice and pasta stand on the Addictocarb scale?
Well, it's way. Number. Let me put it this way: 1, 2, 3, 4. Bread, potatoes, fruit, soda. That's top four. Number five, if I have to go to five.
No, fruit, you mean fruit juice?
Fruit juice.
Not fruit.
No, not fruit. You can eat all the fruit you want.
Okay, so it's bread, it's potatoes, it's fruit juice, and the fourth?
Soda.
Soda.
And the fifth? It's high fructose corn syrup. And then at the bottom, you have pasta, flour, rice, and sugar. People think that sugar is the worst thing. Sugar is not the worst thing. Sugar is not the worst thing. The worst things are bread and potatoes because they're ubiquitous. So, yes, you get – so it depends on how many you want to lose. You want to keep losing weight? Stay on the diet. Keep losing weight. No matter how you cut it. I mean, I had a patient that called the other day. She was complaining. She said, you know – you know, I lost, you know, 30 pounds, you know, and I'm really having a hard time. I just can't seem to lose more. I've really leveled off. I'm thinking to myself, how many people are thinking, gee, I've only lost 30 pounds? Yeah, she's lost 30 pounds. That's changed the likelihood of her getting heart disease. So, yeah, she was unhappy that after 6 months she'd lost 30 pounds and she'd leveled off. Personally, from the way I look at it, 30 pounds is a lot.
Well, my producer just whispered me some good news. He said ice cream is low glycemic.
Aha. Yeah, I eat ice cream all the time.
So I could go to a restaurant and have as much ice cream as I want.
Well, I mean, they do have calories, but yes, it is. Yes, you can have ice cream. Right. Look, ice cream is not on the list. It's not one of the Addictocarbs. Yeah, I have ice cream. And you're better off if you stick to chocolate ice cream because, once again, that's better for diabetes also. But yes, I have ice cream all the time.
Oh, great.
Look, the bottom line, the diet is simple. Stay away from the Addictocarbs. You're going to lose weight. You're going to stay slim. It can't get any simpler than that. And then I even simplify it even more, because sometimes when people come in and I start talking to them about the Addictocarb diet, you know, they listen, they're nice about it, and whatever, and then I just see their eyes glaze over. So that's when I stop, right then and there. I say, okay, when you go home today, just give up bread and potatoes, and then let's talk.
Now give us your website.
My website, it's just addictocarb.com.
And what can people expect to get from that?
From the website, they can. There are some recipes on there. There are some questions that are answered on there. It tells about the diet. There are some testimonials. They can order the book on the website. I mean, you can get the book at Amazon. You can get the book at Barnes & Noble. But you can also go to the website, and you can just press a button there, and it will take you to order the book on the website.
And then can people get in touch with you?
Well, people write to me all the time on Facebook.
Right.
And
what's your Facebook handle?
It's just the Addictocarb Diet.
Addictocarb Diet.
And people write, and I answer. I make an attempt to answer every question, which is sometimes not easy because sometimes I get a lot of people commenting on things. But I do make an attempt to answer everything that I can.
So now after this book, have you learned anything extra that you think you would like to add in another book?
Another book. You know, after I wrote the first book, I swore I'd never write another book. So now this is the second book. So have I learned stuff? Yes, I have learned stuff. I've absolutely learned stuff. I think one thing that I learned from you is that to stress that the word addiction. I've learned about the word temptation, which I think is great. Yeah, I think you learn things as you go along. I've learned about lots of recipes through doing the Facebook page. There are also
I love that cauliflower, buffalo cauliflower recipe.
Oh, do you know that 110,000 people viewed that recipe? 110,000.
Wow.
I was like blown away. You know, the thing is, great chefs, look, obviously I think about food all the time. That hasn't changed. I've always thought about food all the time. I think about food all the time. There are great chefs that make great foods. The job of the person who's trying to stay slim is just to pick and choose those foods. I mean, they're all great. Rachel Ray, I mean, you know.
Using common sense at the end of the day and sort of being real with yourself and being real with your temptation, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it's about.
Bruce, I mean, thank you so much for coming on the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
We'll make sure you come back.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. I will be happy to.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Your comments and your follow are so very welcome on my Twitter account at VipJazzWell and my Facebook page, The Vip Jazzwell Report. A special shout-out thanks to my wonderful team, William Sanchez and Rick Buser. I'll be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I wish you a wonderful evening tonight with your loved ones. And until next Sunday, have a productive and a very happy week ahead.